Morning. Yeah, I was dreading the idea of having to wear the ear microphone. I've been a little under the weather and have a little bit of a cold and been sneezing a lot. So I thought, man, what if I sneeze and that little microphone goes flying off? How do I get it back on? Is this my water or somebody else's? Okay, thank you. Well, let's pray. I know Joe just prayed, but let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. Father, we ask that you would move upon our hearts. Jesus, we pray that you would be lifted up in this place. That you would draw the hearts of men and women to yourself. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal truth to our innermost being and that you would convict us of sin. Father, we commit this time to you. We ask that you'd be honored, that you'd be glorified. And God, as we walk out of these doors today, that you'd be honored and glorified with our very lives. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to find my preacher clock here. Well, Joe had asked me last week sometime if I'd like to share this morning. And I just reckon you don't tell Joe no when he says that. It's kind of like you're in the game of baseball and you're sitting on the bench and you're just watching it all go, and coach turns over and calls your numbers and puts you in. No. I've just spent some time. I had some things initially on my heart that I felt like, oh, I could share that. I could share this. I could share that. And usually I kind of know some of the ideas of where the Lord is going to lead me to share. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday went on, and I spent some time each one of those days just positioning myself before the Lord and asking God, would you burn this message upon my heart first? God, would you speak this message to the very core of my being? And as I came before the Lord, and I had some wonderful, wonderful time, but it just wasn't that message that I knew that I was to share with us today. It was things that the Lord was speaking to me, and I'm just like, wow, this is great. And so I'm writing some stuff down, I'm taking notes, I'm doing all these things. And I sat down last night, Gina said, well, do you know what you're going to speak on? And I said, well, no. She said, yeah, you might want to figure that out. I just kind of have to laugh because the Lord tends to do this to me. And I have to think that he likes it that way. Kind of pigeonholes me into pulling nothing out of my pocket. No tricks do I come bearing today. I want to share with you a message that I spent last night just tarrying before the Lord, waiting upon him, ministering to him. Had a conversation with Joe, and it may have lasted 10, 15 minutes yesterday, and there was just a few words from that conversation that just stuck with me, and Joe's even shared it here this morning, and that is that we would first minister to the Lord. And I want to share with you a message this morning, and that message comes from a place of tarrying, waiting before the Lord. It was about midnight or 1 o'clock last night that the Lord really began to just reconfirm these to my heart. And for those of you who kind of know me, people say I like to sleep in. Well, it's not that I like to sleep in. I just like to stay up really late. Leonard Ravenhill used to call it the holy hour, the hour in which God looks for people that are looking for him. And I've found for me personally, God loves to meet me during that time. When the house is quiet, my wife and kids are sleeping, and I have no distraction, and I'm just focused on him. I'm waiting before him. And I would encourage you to find your secret place with the Lord, to minister to Him, to remain in Him, to position your heart to receive from Him. I used to do that, you know, years ago, to make a buck. I used to stay up late, work sometimes 16 hours in the day, just so I can make some more money. But I don't do that anymore. Now I do it so that Christ would be formed in me, so that every area of my life would be transformed and changed by the wisdom and character and nature and heart of God. And so I pray this morning that as we look to His Word, we would have that heart. We would have a heart that wants nothing more than to cling to the truth that is found in His Word as an anchor for our souls. That as we walk through this life daily and we're faced with all the things that the world wants to throw on us and the flesh wants to rise up, that we would walk by the Spirit, that we would keep in step with the Spirit, that we would live from spiritual wisdom, not from the wisdom of this age and the wisdom that comes from man. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm really bad about this. Like, the Lord will... You know, maybe some scriptures that will really stand out to me. And I know that that's really the core of the message or the thing that He's speaking to me. But then I can't help it. I want to read all the scriptures before. And then I want to read all the scriptures after, which is good because it helps me clearly understand the context. But in doing that, I may end up with 30 pages of notes because you get into a book like Romans, it's just a continuing thought. And so... it's really, there's just so many truths that He's just giving us and giving us and giving us. So I would encourage you, we surely won't be able to get to maybe all that I have here this morning, but I want to encourage you as you go throughout today and maybe even your week to spend some time reading these things, to meditate on them, to again reposition your heart to receive what it is that the Lord is going to speak to you this morning. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Wow. I hesitate even reading all of it. Because I feel like, man, let's just go through all of it, verse by verse. But I'm sure that you've got some things at some point we need to get done today. I'll be happy if we can get through maybe the first 8 verses this morning. Some of the students maybe at chapel at Calvary that have heard me share there, well, I sure would like to talk about some of these things for a while, but time is certainly limited. And so it may be a little ambitious this morning to even focus on the first 8 or 9. Let's start with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? Is he in you? Are you abiding in him? Are you walking according to the Spirit? Are you actively, by his grace, through his Holy Spirit, dying to the flesh? My dear friend, when we live in this place, there is no condemnation. When we freely accept by faith the wonderful truths of what God has done by sending his Son to die on the cross, how can that not move us to live a life of loving response to walking in his truth and obedience to that truth? Has Christ changed your life? Has he changed your heart? Has he given you that new heart of flesh, that heart of flesh that responds to his word, that doesn't despise it? It's not bitter. It's that sweet fruit of life that gives life to your soul, that orders your steps. I fear that for too long we have, and we'll get to it, and help me. I'll need to skip through some of this to get to it. We have attempted to serve God, as Isaiah says, with our idols in one hand and trying to cling to God and his word with the other. And as we know, as we keep in step with this Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit is doing just that. It's bringing sin to the surface. It's when the flesh comes up, it's crucifying it. We have a response. We have a part to play in that. We keep in step with that Spirit. We do not grieve that Spirit. We submit to his Spirit. His Spirit is life. Do you experience the abundant life? Are you experiencing the abundant life today? What are those things that keep you from experiencing the abundant life today? For those of you that struggle in your faith or in your walk or in your consistency in your times before the Lord, let me just give you one simple truth. And if you remember that today, if that is the only thing you remember today, seek to live it out with everything you have. And that is this. Everything you're struggling with, everything that you wrestle with, will find its freedom and liberty in taking in God's word, meditating on it, and doing it, living it. Your reality will change. I've been through years in my life where I've struggled. I've struggled with consistent times of devotion to the Lord. And in turn, I've struggled in every other area of my life. Why? Because I have not clung to His Word. I've tried to use it as some supplement to kind of encourage me here and edify me here and build me up here, which is fine. It'll do that. But it has to change and transform our very lives. And that happens by us taking that Word in. It produces fruit in our lives as we meditate on it, and it becomes the wisdom that we now cling to. So many of you, when we'll get to some of these verses, we'll read down through. We've just explained your relationship with the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, my friend, it cannot. It cannot. Many of you are struggling right now. And it may just be in a small way. I'm not saying that you're in moral failure. I'm just saying, oftentimes the struggles that we face, and maybe for some of you, in an area of your life today, it is because in that area you are not setting your mind on the Spirit. You have set your mind on the flesh, and you're trying to reap the spiritual results in your life. My friend, it's never going to happen. A mind that is set on the flesh, it is hostile to the things of God. Indeed, it cannot, it will not, it will never accept the things of God. We're talking about competing wisdoms here. Which wisdom are you living by? Are you living by the wisdom that is pure, that comes from heaven, that is God's Word? Is that the wisdom that you're clinging to? Or are you living by your own understanding, the wisdom of this age, which is coming to nothing, which is going to lead to death? And if you cling to it, and if you set your mind on it, it will bring forth death in your life in one way or another. For some of you, it already is, and it's happening in your relationship with the Lord. I think about our sister Tina, and I think about the years that she has spent counseling, ministering, laboring over people that Christ would be formed in them. And I can't help but think, as somebody who has been a recipient of that, so many of my problems, so many of our problems, listen. And bless Tina, this is what she did. One time she just sat down. We came to her with a problem, and I just found the piece of paper the other day. And all it was she took out a notebook, and she just started writing scripture. Maybe about 20 of them. And she gave it to us here. So many times we think, well, there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be some other little trick, some other little things that I can do. No. No. Here's the Word of God. Take it, eat it, let it produce fruit in your life. Do it. Live by it. Anything else that sets itself up against that knowledge gets brought into subjection and to the obedience of Christ. Are we doing that? Or are we trying to walk in the Spirit when our minds and our hearts are set on the things of the flesh and what the flesh desires? For many of us, that is the case. That is the case. You will never reap the spiritual results with your heart and your mind set on the flesh. Save yourself the heartache. It will never happen. It cannot. Cling to what is good. Cling to God's word. Cling to it. Verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Guilt, shame, hopelessness, despair. These feelings are debilitating for someone who is crushing under the weight of them. For some of you in this room, I know. I feel it when I talk to you. I've had this in my own life. I know what it feels like to be in that place. And the only thing that will bring you freedom is to die to the flesh, to live by the Spirit, to walk in the newness of life. Is He not worthy? Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. Honor God. Honor Him. Have you been ransomed? Have you been set free this morning? We like to sing about it. We do. Is that the reality in your life? These feelings oftentimes are like a cancer that will keep us motionless, defeated, feeling unworthy of our calling. And when you live from that place, guess what? You're probably not going to fulfill that calling that God has on your life. And so much of what the enemy does is keep people in that place, continually struggling, going around the mountain over and over and over, wrestling with the same things. Is there freedom in Christ? There is. There is. There is. It comes through picking up your cross daily and following Him. Maybe that's the problem. We're trying to follow Him, but we're not trying to pick up our cross each day. One of my favorite sayings, and maybe I'll just say it every time I preach, it seems like I am, is so many of these ideas that we subscribe to and we like to think that we are a servant. I heard it said one time or read it, I don't even know. True test of a servant is how you are responded when you treated like one. So many times we like to call ourselves a servant. So many times we like to call ourselves all these different things. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to be faithful to bring that application to your life. And He's going to reveal your heart in that moment. He will. And that will be the proof of where our heart truly lies. Of maybe that little bit of the flesh that is still there that we need to die to. Do we want freedom this morning? We need to want it. I mean, three people wanted it over here. We need it. This world, oh man, I opened the internet the other day. I don't even know, yesterday or whatever. Just reading through what's going on in the world today. This, we need to cling to His truth. We need to cling to His wisdom. This age is coming to an end. It is. All things are being brought under Christ today. And the days will continue to get more wicked. They will. And I fear that if we live to see some of these things that Scripture talks about, I wonder how sure we are of all the things that we sing about and talk about and preach about. Lord knows it will surely be made known to us in that moment. I read an article, maybe from Iraq or Syria. People are going through cutting off the heads of Christians in our day by the hundreds. Today, yesterday, the week before. Listen, you can get on a plane and be there in 16 hours. Okay, this is not that far away. And I had to ask myself, Lord. And I watched a video and I saw these people running for their lives because they were Christians. And they were just trying to live and feed their children. That is the epitome of the wisdom of this age. And it sets itself up against the very knowledge and wisdom of God. And I want to tell you, your struggle with the flesh this morning is that very same thing. It is two competing wisdoms. It is the wisdom that comes to nothing. It is the wisdom that is demonic, James says. It is rooted and founded in the things of this world. It's demonic. And then there's the pure heavenly wisdom that comes down from God. And I want to encourage and challenge all of us, by which wisdom are you living by this morning? As you face your daily struggles, as you face your circumstances, as you face all of these different things and you make decisions along the way, is the wisdom of God, namely His Word, revealed through His Son, is that the thing that you're clinging to? Is that the reality that you are striving and fighting for to see in your life? There was a time in my life where certain sins, they felt like the choice of pleasure. And the Lord brought me to a place where those certain sins became the lust of the flesh. And they became demonic. They became against everything that the very nature and character of God was. I pray that the Holy Spirit would do that work in each and every one of our hearts and lives today, in every single area. That we would be left with nothing. And we could say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Well, we don't want to die, do we? We don't want to die. We want to cling to that idol and try to serve God. In Him, by His Holy Spirit, He is so faithful. He's coming into some of your lives through situations, through circumstances, through people speaking truth, through difficulty. And He's trying to work things gently out of your life. Attitudes of the heart. I mean, we're not talking about gross immorality. For maybe some of you that is the case. But I'm saying anything that is against the knowledge of God. And He is forming us, changing us into the image and likeness of His Son. He is perfecting us in Christ Jesus. And He is coming like a faithful Father in love. How are you responding in those seasons? Are you becoming broken before the Lord? Are you dying to the flesh? Are you dying to that attitude? Are you dying to that area of your life? Are you crucifying it and giving no provision for it? And when that battlefield begins, or when that struggle begins to happen in our minds, and we start wrestling with some of those same old thoughts again that we clearly know, if we actually ask ourselves, where does that thought come from? It's demonic. It comes from the enemy. It comes from the pit of hell. Because why? Because it sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So we take it captive. Look at how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was perfect. And what did He do? He He used the Word of God. He stood on the Word of God. He clinged to the Word of God. He pointed to the Word of God. He was the Word. And he overcame. He overcame. Well, let's just skip through some of these. I'm going to talk about being spiritually minded. Let's just focus here on verses 5 through 8. I think that is where the burden that I feel lies this morning. Verses 5 through 8 of Romans chapter 8. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Paul gives us an easy way for us to determine if our walk in the Spirit, if we're walking by the Spirit or if we're walking in the flesh. To simply see where our mind is set. Where is your mindset? Where are those things that your mind and your thoughts continually drift to? I heard a preacher say many years ago, I was living in Hawaii, and he said, you will be given over to your thoughts. You will always be given over to your thoughts, given the element of time. And that's always something that stuck with me, and I've seen that to be very true. Those things that we set our minds on and meditate on and dwell on, guess what? Our heart tends to get in line with those things. And once our heart gets in line with that and it's in our mind, it's only a matter of time before that becomes the very action, the very thing that flows out of us as a way of living in our life. Many of you, you're looking at your life and your situation or your struggle with your following the Lord or all these different things. Guess what? Let's back it up. What do you have your mind set on? Is it the things of the flesh? Because if it is, you will never be able to please God. So we have to come back. We have to take God's word in. Many of you, for those of you that are struggling this morning in your relationship with the Lord, I'm going to make a suggestion to you. Open your Bible. Read it. Prayerfully read it. Consider what it says. Ask God to give you understanding and do it. I mean, I wish I had something more elegant for you. Open the Word of God and do it. I don't care if your feelings aren't involved. They'll get in line too. They will. It'll become that very thing that you long for, that you stay up late into the night meditating on. You can't get enough of it. You sit down to just read a few scriptures and pretty soon you've gone through a whole couple chapters and, man, I got to get some work done today at some point. Well, I guess work can wait till tomorrow. No, I'm just going to continue on with this. Thank you, Lord. We don't ever get to that place because we're not willing to be consistent and faithful in those things. Because, why? Because they don't fulfill and entice our flesh. They're not of the flesh. They're of the Spirit. And so again, what are you living by? Every area of your life. Every area of my life. God, would you bring it into subjection to your word? We need to do that battle in our minds first when those thoughts come in. And I'll tell you what. There's two things that if we one, take time to read the Word of God, get it in us, all of a sudden, guess what? The Holy Spirit's real faithful. I'm telling you, He is. To remind you of those words in those moments of temptation or those moments where that earthly wisdom or that flesh wants to rise up. All of a sudden, that Word of God is right there. And you have about 2 to 3 seconds to decide what you're going to cling to. You do. Do not meditate. Just kind of pansy around and just whip back and forth. Listen, this is life and death. Cling to it. Die to the flesh. Verse 6, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Well, good night. We want life and peace, don't we? Some of us complain that we don't have it. Well, maybe we should set our minds on the Spirit. You want to truly experience life in Christ, in God, the abundant life? Do you want to know peace? Not as the world gives it. The very peace that comes from the throne of God. And let me tell you, once you've tasted that and experienced that kind of peace, there is no other peace like it. There is no other peace like it. I know I do. Okay, Aaron, guess what? Set your mind on the Spirit. In every situation, I don't care if my flesh doesn't want to. I'm going to die to it, and I'm going to set my heart, my mind on the Spirit. And I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. And by His grace, I'm going to keep in step with His Spirit as His Spirit works in my life to mold me, to shape me, to sanctify me, to change me into the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus. And if that means that I need to go back and make some things right and repent, Lord, help me, I will. Because I don't want to cling to that wisdom. I don't want to cling to my own understanding. I don't want to cling to that flesh. I don't want to allow my heart or my mind to be set on that flesh in any way. There's subtle things that, you know, even with kids are wonderful in the sense, too, that you just... The Lord really shows you things about your own heart. It could just be something so subtle. Lack of patience. Some offhanded remark that maybe I make in the flesh to the kids. And many times I've been by their bedside at night. Or I'm getting better about doing it, not waiting until night. Or I'm saying, will you forgive me? I shouldn't have done that. Kids are wonderful. Of course. Of course I forgive you. You're my dad. But listen, every area of our life, you want to experience His blessing? Oh my goodness. Cool. Go walk through that Christian bookstore. There is some junk out there on the blessings of God. Just some rubbish. You want to experience peace and blessing in your life. True blessing. Take the Word of God in. Allow it to change you. It will. It is an incorruptible seed, James says. And it will transform your souls. It will change your life. Allow it to do that work. Take it in. Some of you, that's the struggle. You won't even sit down and read it. What kind of garden are you planting at that point? My kids play this, they have one video game and they play it, and it's just like this harmless kind of, you know, they plant seeds and then it's like building a garden. And there's good seeds and there's bad seeds. Guess what? When you plant the bad seeds, bad things grow. And all of a sudden, it has effects on your garden. That's what's going on in some of your lives. They show this guy, he walks up and he's got two bags of seeds. He's got a red bag and he's got a brown bag. And you can go up and you can ask him for a seed, and he gives you a seed, and then you plant it in your garden. Some of you are just planting seeds out of that red bag. And you got thorns and thistles and every sort of demonic thing that's trying to spring its head up in your life. And then you come into maybe counseling, or maybe you come into all this and you're, well, I just don't understand. I need deliverance. I need this. I need that. I need the quick way out, basically. You want the quick fix? Take the Word of God. Take it in. Start planting that in your life. Quit reaching in that red bag and pulling out those bad seeds and planting them in the garden. Plant the Word of God in your life. Read it. You don't stand a chance if you don't. What are we doing if we can't even do that? You're never going to experience true peace in your life. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. A mind that is set on the flesh cannot and will not be pleasing to God. It's a simple math equation right there. You can't just re-engineer the equation. I mean, the numbers are still there. You're going to end up with the same results. And it's not that difficult for us to understand, praise the Lord. You don't need some great revelation, some great thunder and cloud experience. You need to read the Word of God, and you need to do it. You need to take it in, and the Holy Spirit, it's going to be so faithful to bring you opportunities through trials, tribulations, circumstances, all sorts of different things that we face along our way. But what do we do in that moment when we're tested and the flesh wants to rise up? That's the moment right then. That's it. How are you going to respond? Are you going to cling to earthly wisdom that in the end is... It's so demonic. It sets itself up against the very knowledge of God, of who God is. Romans, the first chapter, talks about that. And we wonder, we look at our world and we say, why are all these things like this? Why is that normal now? Well, Romans chapter 1 tells you. You rejected the knowledge of God. Your heart became hardened. He said, fine. Think about Esau for a minute. He gave away his birthright, his inheritance, his blessing for a fleshly, carnal desire. In a moment, he gave it away. And guess what? Later on, after he thought about it, he tried to repent. He sought it with tears, but it was too late. It was too late. Any response that is fleshly in nature is rooted in earthly wisdom or in our own understanding cannot ever end up being pleasing to God. It cannot. It's hostile to God. Verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In closing, I just want to encourage us. Let's look at just a few scriptures. God desires so much more for us than the temporary, earthly, carnal, fleshly things that we tend to see and fix our eyes on. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Do you have your eyes fixed on Him? Joe talked about it already. Hebrews chapter 12. Read through the first opening verses. Set your mind on Him. Fix your gaze on Him. Look unto Him. Cast aside every weight and sin that clings to you and holds you back and keeps you from running this race consistently before Him. Are you doing that? Are you even doing that? Is your eye even fixed on Him? Are you looking to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Our battle is real and our battle is spiritual. So many of you are trying to fight a spiritual battle with weapons of the flesh, with wisdom that is demonic. And it's not working out, is it? How's that going for you? I've done it before. I know how it goes. You don't have to answer. It's wearisome, isn't it? Because in the end, things don't change. In the end, things tend to get worse. And yet we cry out and we say, "God, would you..." We go out to somebody and we say, "What? There is no quick way out. The quick way out is to die to the flesh and submit to God." That's not popular, is it? We don't want to do that. We wrestle against and we destroy strongholds and arguments. By what? By using the wisdom and the knowledge of God. If you do not read His Word, you are not going to be able to fight this battle. Read His Word. Read His Word. Get it in you. Again, how did Jesus overcome temptation in the wilderness? The Word of God. With the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Stand on it. Cling to it. Until that becomes the very reality you see in your mind and in your heart and in your situation. Do not submit to the flesh. Do not set your mind on the flesh. Do not walk after the flesh. Die to the flesh. Pick up your cross daily and follow in the steps of Jesus. He has ransomed your soul. He has redeemed you by His blood. Are you even wrestling this morning? Are you? Some of you are wrestling, but you're wrestling with the wrong thing. Again, you're trying to get spiritual results using fleshly wisdom. When you do this, you're actually wrestling against God. Because that very position is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God's laws. We have the power to overcome. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ Jesus. There is power. The power, the very dominion of sin is broken over our lives. God did that by sending His Son. He put them to open shame. You have the power as you walk in Christ, as you walk in the Spirit, as you remain in Him, to overcome sin. Because sin no longer has dominion over you. It no longer has power over you. When sin comes knocking on your door, saying, "Remember me, come on," you now have the power to say no. And you say no by using the Word of God. This, my friends, is how you battle. And I'll close with this scripture. James chapter 3, verses 13 and 18. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. It reads, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." Not in wisdom, but in the meekness of wisdom. True wisdom is not head knowledge or understanding or mental assent. Real wisdom and understanding will show in our lives. It goes on in verse 14. "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is the wisdom of this age. It's all about you. It's all about what you can get, what you need, what you deserve. Half of the worship songs we sing are in this very same thought. Our lives need to become about Him. Verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and vile practice." Verse 17, here's the good news. "But the wisdom from above is first" what? It's first "pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, sincere." Verse 18, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." For some of you this morning, you're trying to get that harvest of righteousness. You're trying to get that peace. But you're not willing to live by that heavenly wisdom from above that comes down, that it's pure. Because maybe you're too lazy to take time to read His Word. Maybe it just doesn't interest you. That will change. Read His Word. Take it in. Pray. Ask God. Cause Your Word to come alive, to speak to the depths of my soul, to change me, that Christ would be formed in me, that I might carry Your glory into every part of the world that I go, that I might come into any situation and bring with me the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You will experience a harvest of righteousness if you cling to that heavenly wisdom. Do not live by this earthly wisdom. Do not live according to the flesh. Submit yourself to God. Let's stand and pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. God, I pray that we would say thank you with our very lives. God, we don't want to just come in here and say thank you. I pray that our lives would say thank you. I pray that my life would say thank you. There's nothing special about this altar. I'm going to tell you something really quick about this right here that we do. And then I'm going to invite you to come. There's nothing special about this altar. This altar needs to be a reflection of a response that is beginning to take place in your heart towards this message, towards the Word of God, towards the Spirit of God that is speaking to you this morning. And if that is so, if the Lord is using these scriptures this morning to speak to you in an area of your life, I want you to respond. And if that involves you coming to the altar, great. But I want you to respond when you walk out the door. I want you to respond when you go through your week, when you're faced with sin and temptation in your life. Stop clinging to the earthly wisdom. Stop it. It's going to lead to death. So this morning, if you want to come, I invite you to come. Position yourself before God, and you can do it right in your seat. There's nothing. Have to come here, but listen, it's going to happen. Things are going to come in your life, and God's going to give you every opportunity to work this out, this message out in your life. And you be so ready. You be so ready when that comes to respond by clinging to His wisdom. Father, we just pray this morning, God, for each and every one in this room, that you, Father, would move upon our hearts. God, that you, by your Spirit, would reveal truth to our innermost being. That we would be rooted and grounded in love for you and for our neighbor. God, I pray that every spiritual wickedness, everything that tries to come into our lives and in our thoughts and in our minds, in our hearts, it tries to set itself up against the knowledge of you, I pray that we would battle, that we would wage war according to the Spirit, that we would not cling to the flesh, that we would not cling to earthly wisdom, but we would die. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the provision of the cross in our lives, that we might come before your throne of grace boldly and find help in time of need.
This is my daily prayer. to me and I. I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the end. This is the end of you. Your holy presence, living. This is my daily bread. This is my daily
bread. We were talking about living bread this morning and living hope and living water. Whatever is fed is what grows. If we feed the flesh will grow. But if we starve the spirit will grow. And if we feed the spirit will grow in us. So this is our way of having a growth and as a Christian. But there may be some people here this morning that you've come here and you're hungry for God, but you don't know what salvation really is. You've never been truly born again into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit calls you to the Father. Repentance is your part, where that you say, I'm getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm getting sick and tired of being the way I was. And I want to turn away from my sin and turn towards the Lord with all my heart. If you'd like to receive Jesus this morning, would you raise your hand? You want to come to the Lord for the very first time in your life? You want us to help you find Jesus today? There's people here that can help you. Give you a choice today. I want our prayer team to come and just come across the front here this morning. I believe there's some people here that you came with a burden and you want it lifted today. The scripture says if two will agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. Take one of these prayer team members and share your heart with them. Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus our Lord. Praise God. The Word of God is quick and powerful as a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. The Word has been preached this morning. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus our Lord. Blessed be God. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God.
I'm desperate for you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be God. Oh, my Jesus, my Lord and my God. Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Let's draw nigh to Him. He'll draw nigh to us. More of you, Jesus. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Más amor, más poder, más de ti mi vida. Come, Lord Jesus. Feed us this day, O God. Let this word penetrate into our hearts today, O God. My Lord and my God. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, my Lord.
that can never come close.
Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah.
Nothing can compare.
Oh God. Precious
You're
Jesus.
Our living hope.
In His presence is fullness of joy. Do whatever it takes to get the joy. Maybe you've had joy in your life and it's left. I believe the message this morning will show you why it's gone.
When my heart becomes free,
you can have that joy again. And rejoice in the Lord. Bring that joy back into your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Many people will go to a doctor's office and wait in line for their turn. Well, your cure is right here this morning. And you don't have to wait in line. You reach out and you say, Lord, I'm here. I'm right here to see you meet that need. I want that heavenly meal. I want the Lord's Supper in my life right now. Yes, oh God. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Lord. We pray, Jesus.
Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Precious Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close.
Change happens here.
Nothing can compare.
And that change is for the world. It doesn't stay here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Precious God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
I've tasted and seen the
sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove.
When my heart becomes free and my shame is gone.
Come, Holy Spirit, filling us with your love.
Your presence, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Oh, my Jesus, oh God. Precious Jesus, hallelujah. Glory be to God.
You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Come, Lord Jesus, hallelujah.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts
yes,
long
Lord.
For.
We long for you, Lord. You know what it means to long for the Lord? Is there a longing in your heart for more? A longing in your heart for Jesus? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The altars are going to be open. Prayer team is here. I want to go ahead and dismiss you, and don't forget the offering plate that is there for this ministry in Belize as you leave the doors. Obey the Lord. Stretch your hand this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehovah te bendiga y te guarde. Jehovah haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti. Y tenga de ti misericordia, Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Y may the Lord bless you and keep you as you go from this place today. May you take that word that's been preached by Brother Aaron today and put it in your heart. And may it renew you and restore you and renew your mind and give you that newness of life that you can take. Go and walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Die to the flesh. Live to the Spirit of God. Go and find a need and meet it. There's a world around us. It's not just in Belize or Peru today. It's all around us. People need the hope that is within you. Let them ask you the reason for the hope that's within you. Go and bless somebody today. Let God use you. Go and be a missionary right here in Tyler, Texas, Smith County. Right here. Amen. God bless you.